Okay, we'll say a word of prayer, and then we'll jump into this lesson on tonight. Father Yah, we just bless you as always, and we thank you for, first of all, your presence, and we seek wisdom and understanding on tonight, and we bless you in advance for it. We just thank you for all the hearers of the word, and continue to bless us to be doers also. And we just glorify you in the name of our wonderful Savior, Yehoshua, we do pray. Amen. Amen. All righty. I want to discuss some things from a perspective of a video that I had that Yah led me to on this early this morning. And it inspired me, and I wrote about it. And so... if y'all bear with me just a little bit, I'll pull it up, and I want you to watch the video, and then I will go into the lesson. Let me look at I can't remember what the name of it is, so y'all just kind of bear with me just a little bit. A lot of time I don't be knowing what I'm going to do when I come in here, so yeah, here it is. Okay. Just bear with me, let me type this in. Now, will we be able to hear it from here? Is it set up where we can do it if we can't?
You mean from here?
Yeah.
Welcome to Africa Downshore.
We good? Okay. I'm gonna show this video, and then we'll go into the lesson on tonight, because there are some things that I want to encourage you on, and. And we'll just watch the video first and launch from there.
Welcome to Africa Downshore.
We can't see the video.
You can't see it?
Okay, now we can.
Oh, if you can show up from there. So can we, let me see.
She said she can see it from here.
We're going to make this work, y'all. We're going to figure it out.
Welcome to Africa Downshore.
Two-year drought.
Thank you.
make informative.
Okay, now, I wanted to show y'all that, I wanted to show y'all that just to kind of lay a foundation for the lesson on tonight. I ended up writing about this, and what I basically said was, I can always get God to move. And then I went on to say, He always does something for me. And I mean, the experiences that I've had with Yah as far back as I can remember, you know, from a child, I don't know of any other way of life. I don't know what it's like to not have encounters with Yah. And so, the reason why I'm teaching this is because it is time for us to understand who we are, to the point to where we move the way that that He has always intended for us to move when it comes down to Him. And there are few testimonies that I give, and I have witnesses that are listening in, that can verify these things, that they're true. Basically, when you look at this woman, she is doing what they call an African rain dance, but the area where she's doing it, where this drought is, it was South Africa. So when you look at South Africa and those places like that, it is where we migrated from Jerusalem and ended up in some of those regions of South Africa before we were brought over in the Atlantic slave trade. And so there are customs that is still done in those areas. And I said customs, they're still done in those areas, and they're scriptural based, but it's just that we're so disconnected from our heritage that we don't realize how we have it as a people with Yah, and how He inhabits our praises, and how He longs for the relationship that He once had with us as a people. And so one of the first things He said to me, he said, don't allow people's lack of experience to have an effect on your experience. And so because there are some things that Yah will do, and you will have experiences that others don't have, and because they can't relate to those experiences, then they'll conclude that they're not true. So most people's mindset is they create Yah in their own image, and if He doesn't deal with them in those ways, then they look at it as being impossible. I remember the first time I started really taking note of the encounters that I was having with Yah, and I started explaining it to people who were at the time over me, so to speak. You know, they were my pastor and his wife and things like that, and other people, you know, system pastors and stuff like that. And I was they had left me, and I think you may remember this, Deanna. They all went to St. Louis or something like that, didn't it? And so they left me in charge of the church. And so they was like, well, long we're gonna leave you in charge of the church. And I mean, the majority of the church members went, and they was like, we're gonna leave you in charge. And they said, you can just have a prayer. You know, I think it was on a Wednesday night. It was like, you can have prayer. I think they left on a Sunday, didn't they? Mm-hmm. Saturday or Sunday, something like that. Mm-hmm. Sunday. And then it's like, well, you know, you can have prayer on Wednesday, you know, and for those who just want to come up, come to the church and pray, just kind of keep things going. And I was like, okay. So I was going to hold back some information. Y'all said, tell it in its fullness. And so as I'm, as we begin to pray, I go up on the stage and I lay across the, I lay on the floor on the stage, and everybody else was just walking, you know, who were there. It was just a few of us just walking and praying, and some was kneeling and things like that. And so I laid on the floor, and as I laid on the floor and started to pray, I had my eyes closed and felt like I was raising up off the floor. And so I'd open my eyes and you know, and I'd go back down to the floor and I start praying again. I come up off the floor again and I'm looking around like, what is going on, you know? And so this went on and off as I was praying. And so when the rest of the church members and, you know, church family basically got back, you know, in town that, you know, for that Sunday service, I was telling them about, hey, y'all, you know, because I'm green, I think, you know, I'm thinking y'all do this with everybody. So I'm like, hey, y'all was praying, and this what was going on, and this was, you know, happening and stuff like that, and everybody was looking at me like I was crazy. And finally I came to the conclusion, oh, there's something going on that's, you know, going on with me that's not going on with everybody. And from that point on, that's when I understood that I had to step out and trust Yah with what He was doing with me, instead of being bound to everybody else's experience. And that's the very thing that has caused me at this point to understand the things I do as far as scriptures and all that is concerned, because that's the mentality that I have, that I will not teach the scripture based upon what is comfortable in everybody else's experience, but I'll teach it according to what Yah reveals to me, and just make sure it lines up with His precepts. And so these encounters have happened on and off over the years, and some of them are very difficult for a person to believe if they don't understand how to tap into these things, these encounters. And so as you see this woman here dancing, she is basically doing a praise before Yah, and that praise pleased Yah to the point to where He calls it to rain after 2-year drought. And as I mentioned earlier, I have witnesses here. There have been times when I prayed and controlled weather, tornadoes, different things. From and when I say I control, you know, obviously Yah is the source, but I'm talking about there are things that I have done. From, you know, from a perspective of what this lady did, that works, and it's true and it's real, and you have to focus your mind enough to receive it and to realize that you are the people whereby Yah will, and I always say it this way. Yah, we have a way of making Yah stand up on His throne, and when you come to the full realization of that, it is a wonderful feeling. I cannot tell you a time frame where I sought Yah and He didn't move. That's why I wrote in the heading, Yah always move for me. Always. I can't tell you not one time where I can say I was needing Yah to move and He didn't move. Because there are things that's embedded in my heart, which is the mind, also embedded in yours, that has to be awakened. And once it's awakened, you have that same testimony. I never fail at anything I depend on Yah. If I'm depending upon Yah, it is going to work every time. I'm going to see things happen exactly the way that I foresee it. It is because I understand who my source is, and I don't go to Yah with game. And I say that for a reason, because most people go to Yah with game, and that's why he doesn't move. Type in this word here. James 4. James 4 say, you ask and receive not. James 4 verse 3. Say, you ask and receive not because ye ask amiss. Now, when you look at the word amiss, a word amiss means badly. It says evil or grievously, miserably, sick, sore. Then it says that you may consume it upon your own lust, so desire. And so Yah is letting us know that the reason why a lot of things doesn't materialize is because the majority of the time we pursue things based upon our own lustful desire, our own desire. It's what I want to accomplish. Very few people go to Yah and say, what is it that you want to accomplish in me? Everybody have their, and I'm saying everybody as a general term in order just to get us to understand what we're dealing with here. Everybody have their desired plan in life or what they want to be. Very few people go to Yah and say, here I am, I'm the clay, mold me into what you want me to be. So everybody have their plans. I want to be this. I want to do this. I want to be all these things. I want to have this. I want to do that. What if Yah wanted none of those things for us? So when I make the statement that I know how to get Yah to move for me, is because my sole purpose in what I ask for is designed to please Him. And if it doesn't please Him, I don't want it. I don't care what it is. 100 million. I don't care what it is. You name it. If it does not please Him, I don't want it in my life. And so when that statement is made, it is made from that mindset. I know how to get Him to move because when I move, it is designed to please Him, and because it's designed to please Him, then the very thing that I'm moving to Him about, He the one put the desire there in the first place. So He said people have not because they ask amiss. Most people's goal in life is consumption upon themselves. You know, think about all the things that you may desire in life and sit there and ask yourself, is that desire that I have please Yah? Is it pleasing to Yah? And so from that mindset, that's what I meant when I said this. And so I'm gonna go back to the reading again. I said I can get God to move. He always does something for me. I said, that said, here's the mystery, which is a secret of how I do it. Now, I'm going to look at two scriptures here, two books rather, of the scripture, and we'll start to see some things in here. Our nation understood this. This was simple when it came down to our nation. And our nation had perfected it, and Yah always moved every time they did it. Not some of the time. He moved every time they did it. And again, as a witness, I can attest that He moves every time I do it. Now, 1 Kings 18. Now, the reason why I like this book in association with the video is because this also was a time of drought. Okay. And so I'm just going to go up a little bit and see if it's in here. 1 Kings 18 verse 1 said, and it came to pass after many days that the word of Yah came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself to Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. Remember the Samaria? Now the names are starting to make sense. So Samaria, so what is this referring to? Those 10 tribes. Because it's talking about in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of the house. Now Obadiah feared Yah greatly. Make sure your phone's on mute. Obadiah feared Yah greatly, for it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of Yah that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. Somebody's phone is not on mute.
Yeah, I think they muted it now.
Okay. And so as you skip down to verse 41, it says, so I'm thinking this famine was like 3 years. I'm thinking it's 3 years because it says the third year. So I'm thinking it's 3 years. And we may have to go to 1 Kings 17 to prove that it's factual. So we if we need to. But when you get down to verse 41, for the sake of the time, it said, Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. Now he says this, and then look what he does. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. So this is worship, it's prayer, it's meditation. And said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. See, when you trust God, you got to be willing to stick in there, man. You know, we so traditional, and we think that you know, prayer is, okay, I'm just going to look for it one time, and if it don't happen one time, then, you know, I'm going to go sit down somewhere because God ain't going to do this. It may be on the 7th time. You may try 7 times. I have a cliche that I say when it comes down to Yah, I'll be like, I'm willing to wait forever. I'm willing to keep moving forever. I'm willing to stand forever. There is no such thing there's no such thing as I've done all that I can. That doesn't even compute in my mind. Because I serve Yah who always gonna provide a way if I just continue to trust forever. Y'all hear what I'm saying? And so there are always opportunities that present itself. And so one door closing just means that there's another time. I went the first time, it didn't happen. Go again. I went the second time, it didn't happen. Go again. I went the third time, it didn't happen. Go again. I'm going to keep going. 7 times is the only metaphoric for me. 7 times mean that I'll go 700 times if I'm trusting him for rain. Because when I'm trusting Yah for something, there is no other option. There is no other plan. I'm teaching you how he moved now. I'm teaching you what happens when I make the statement that I can always get him to move. Because when I commit, it's a commitment. There's no opportunity for anything else to arise in my mindset that would make me think anything other than what I'm trusting him for. Can you imagine if Elijah had his head between his knees the first time, and he sent that servant, and that servant went and looked and came back and said, "I don't see nothing"? He would have gave up. Do you know how many times y'all was finna move and we gave up? Right there on the brink of something happening magnificent and we gave up, all because it was not in our own time frame. When it comes down to trusting y'all, I will go 7 times. I will go 7,000 times. I will go 7 million times. I will go eternity time, if there's a such thing. Infinity time. I will go and go, and I'll trust, and I always look for opportunity. My face is always toward the window of opportunity when it come down with you, come down to y'all. When I trust y'all, I never look at something and say, "That's it. That's the best I can do." Because if there's something to be done, then that means the opportunity is there for me to keep trusting him so he can show up and do exactly what I'm trusting him to do. Thus, I always get Yah to move for me. What he's saying to you today is he wants you to have that same mindset that regardless of what it looks like, how it's looking, there's always opportunities. You know how many doors have closed on me in life? And I just look for another door. Because that door was not my source that closed. That just meant that wasn't the one y'all wanted me to walk through. So one door closes, there's another one there. So my mindset is, not that the door closed, it's just one more opportunity before a door opens. Because it got to open. So if that one closed, thank you, Yah. It wasn't in the first place. You know that mindset? Whatever happens to me in life is always for my benefit. So when it closes, hallelujah for that door being closed. You looking out, Yah. And so as you see the prophet here, his servant goes back 7 times. And it's saying it came to pass at the 7th time. The first time came to pass. The 2nd time came to pass. The 3rd time came to pass. You know that old saying, 3 times is the charm. Most people quit after 3 tries. But when you're trusting Yah, quitting is not an option. And it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, "Behold, there arises a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. A little cloud the size of a man's hand." And Elijah said, "Go tell him it's in the rain." See, when your trust is in Yah, you look for anything. See, most folks only want to testify when big things are happening. But can you testify when a very little thing is manifested that's pointing the way to the bigger thing? Can you trust Yah when all you have is a dollar, but that dollar got you something that day? I think it's Tony doing all that noise. Tony, you fix your stuff over there, girl. We're gonna zoom you out of here. Yeah, I know that's my sister. I know it. She sounds like she's just busy over there. Sit down somewhere. So
I'm helping Junior. Thank you very much.
Uh huh. But you got everybody else listening to you helping too. Helping with mute on or something. So these things are vitally important. Y'all know I'm throwing off. I just go out of here and leave the church service and come back. So, but y'all know it's vitally important for us to make sure that we keep that trust no matter what is happening in our lives. We got to know. We got to go back to the ancient ways. I don't know no other way. I bless y'all for being raised up at the time frame that I did in the town that I was raised up in, because I got a chance to see stuff that most people don't see. I not only saw my family trust y'all, but I saw a community trust y'all. There were people around me, around my neighborhood, you know, family and friends that I would go to, and I saw things that would happen that you saw, you had no doubt that y'all was moving in one fast or another, because we were all trying to make it. Verse 44, but it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there arises a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up and say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariots and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. That's one example. The other one that we'll look at here is found in 2 Chronicles 20. Second Chronicles 20, verse 18. When our nation was getting ready to be attacked, and Jehoshaphat didn't know what to do. But what I like about it, he basically said in a nutshell, but our eyes are on you, y'all. And so you look at verse 18, I guess we'll start at verse 18. It says, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. You see a pattern? Elijah bowed down, put his face to the ground. His head between his knees. Jehoshaphat the king. You know how most of us preachers do it. We don't even worship. We don't bow down. We don't pay homage to the Most High. But he, as the leader, set the example, and he bowed down. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before Yah, worshiping the Lord. I remember when I used to preach at different churches a lot, and it's a common thing for the preacher to sit in the study until it's time for him to come out and preach. It's a common thing. And so I'm sitting in the I make it to this church, and so I'm in the study. And they was like, so you want to stay in here for a while and then come out, you know, when it's time for you to preach? I was like, no. I said, I would rather go and be amongst the people. And they kind of looked at me with a strange look on my face and was like, well, okay, then, you know, we'll do that. And so we went out and and was a part of the service, and all those pastors that was in those offices, you know, in that office with me, they all came out too. And it was the strangest thing to see, because preachers don't praise. You know, I was up there getting in with the choir and going on, and all the preachers were standing there in their suits and sitting down showing their socks. But the ancient way, we are supposed to set the example as far as the leaders are concerned. So each one of you leaders, when it's when it comes down to worshiping and magnifying Yah, we should bow down just like we expect everybody else to do. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before Yah, worshiping the Lord. You know, sometimes, as a matter of fact, most of the time on before Sabbath service, Yah's dealing with me, and a lot of times when I come out, pretty much 99.9% of the time when I come out, especially when I wasn't, you know, feeling bad, you know, when I was feeling bad that little while, you know, it was taking me, I don't know how long, just to get dressed to come out. But the majority of the time, Yah is dealing with me, but I love being in the mixture of praise because I know what moves Yah. In any environment that I'm in, you're going to feel the presence of Yah. I may be two or three tunes off two or three tunes off and five or six taps behind the right rhythm, but boy, it's just something about when praise is sincere, Yah's going to move. You may remember this. You remember when we were in the storefront. It was just a few of us, and we was having corporate prayer. And it was mainly the leaders that day. And we got in a circle. We was praying. It was on Sabbath. You know, we wasn't aware of it at the time. You know, on in the Sabbath, we were having services on Sunday, and we were praying, and we got in a circle. As we were praying, you remember we started singing? Do you remember what happened? You know? Okay, you remember when we heard singing?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was like it was thousands of us in that room. And we stopped singing, and they kept singing. We stopped singing and started looking around at each other. Yah will inhabit the praises of his people. You got to learn how to move your father. Anybody who see me, you know, my girls are grown, so you see it to a certain extent, but nothing like you see it when it come down to my grandkids. Anybody that see me encounter my grandkids, it'll give you an idea of what Yah is like in reference to us. So I'm going to say it, I'm going to use them as an example in order to get you to understand Yah. Yeah, I'm going to use them as an example in order to get us to understand Yah's perspective. My grandkids praise their granddad. When I walk through the door, it's like, and I'm talking about this is every time I walk through the door. Matter of fact, Zoe's so good at it, you know, I sort of said bad, but I'm going to say good. Zoe's so good at this that I can come in a room. She's going to say, hey, Papa. I can go out of the room and turn around and come right back in that room. 10 seconds later, she's going to say, hey, Papa, again. I can go out of the room and come in that room 20 times. She's going to say, hey, Papa. That girl know how to praise her Papa. But guess what happens when she do? Anybody that know me will tell you, I get to looking at you real crazy when you mess with Zoe. I don't like to see her cry. Yash was the same way. As soon as I come in, hey, Papa! Papa! When that praise comes, it's like, boy, I'm the yes, granddad. Because there's a sincere praise that's there whereby there's a love and honor for their grandfather that I can feel that causes me to respond to them any kind of way possible to make sure they're okay. With that in mind, what if we praise Yah like the way my grandkids praise their granddad? Because that's what they're doing. So when you look at Second Chronicles, Second Chronicles 20, starting at verse 18, again it says, "And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before Yah, worshiping Yah. And the Levites and the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Kohites stood up to praise Yah, God of Israel, with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth in the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, Yah your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto Yah, that they should praise the beauty of his holiness." Now, when you look at the word beauty of his holiness, it says honor. And we're going to go back and look at that word. When you look at holiness, it's sacred. Now, as you look at the word, it says decoration, beauty, honor. It goes it goes back. You see it here? Let me do it again. I'm going to go out. So you look at this word, it says of 1926, which is this here, Hadar. It means magnificent. Ornament of splendor, commonness, excellency. Do you know that the very God we're talking about has a sacred splendor? Has a glory and a sacredness about him that is like no other. That splendor being so magnificent that even the sun says concerning him, I do nothing unless he give it me. Even when they call him good master, he said, no, there's not one good, but that is God. Talking about his father. How do you come in the gates every day? When you awaken, how do you enter into your day? Each day when you wake, when you awaken, do you recognize the beauty of his holiness? Do you recognize that you just woke up to the one who is sacred? I'm telling you why I always get him to move. Every morning when I get up, Zoe always up. She's like grandma. She get up with the chicken. Zoe gonna be one of them cats kind of wake the chickens up. Tell them, you know. But the first thing she does when I come around the corner, she acknowledges. She gonna drop whatever she doing. Am I kidding y'all? I don't care what she's doing. She's eating at the table. If she's doing homework, it doesn't matter what she's doing. When Papa come in, she drop everything and run straight to me. And she's going to hug me and she's going to kiss me. And then she's going to go back doing what she's doing. Hey, Papa. What if we honored y'all like that? As soon as we awaken, he is... You know, there are a lot of things that can go on in our minds, so I'll just say it this way just to give us some slack. What if Yah was one of the first things on our mind each day when we wake up? How do you get your day started without recognizing the beauty of His holiness? He says, draw nigh to me, and I draw nigh to you. So since we have access to a God with that kind of splendor, why would we not make that a priority? What makes us so special, or whatever is going on so special, that it has preeminence of the Most High, who is full of splendor and His holiness is beautiful? What will you take the time to do, but you won't take the time to do for Him? Verse 21 said, when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto Yah, and that they should praise the beauty of His holiness. And as they went before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord Yah sent ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. If you want to know how to get Yah to move for you, and this is not speaking from a selfishness perspective, because most people will hear this and then be like, okay, since I want something for Yah, I'm going to start doing this. Now he know what's sincere and what's not. Remember, we said earlier that we ask and receive not because we ask amiss. He know what's wrong and what's right. So here's the mystery to doing it. I just told you. The mystery to doing it is every time you enter into the day, enter into it with thanksgiving. Enter into it with appreciation. Everyone likes to be appreciated. But no one like to be appreciated more than Yah. because he always doing something for somebody who doesn't appreciate. It rains on the just as well as the unjust. There are people that's benefiting from him and don't appreciate him at all. Still benefiting. Now think about what I just said. If we can benefit from him and not appreciate it, what would happen if we appreciated it every day? Psalms 100, and then I'm done. Okay, something happened with the meeting.
The internet went out. Hit the connection, the circle at the bottom of the screen next to the volume button. You're reconnected.
Mm-hmm.
No, at the very bottom of the screen by the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That circle.
So this need to be
redone. Computer audio?
Yeah.
There are 5 participants in the conference. The recording has started.
Okay.
Okay. Well, they got the internet going in and out, so Psalms 100, and then we're going to be through. Psalms 100, verse 4, and we'll stop. It says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. Well, we know that this is something that our nation was taught when we were in our homeland, and every time we came, you know, before Yah, especially dealing with the Sabbath and things like that, we entered in. So as you break down these words, it says enter. Enter means it says abide. To go to come in into his gates with thanksgiving. Now, when you look at the word thanksgiving, it says as a worshiper, praise. That's one of the reasons, and we really gonna be very. Very, you know, we do it now, but I mean, it's really going to be a thing, especially when we go into our campus, that that when you enter into those double doors of the sanctuary, everybody has to have that mindset, and if that's not the mindset, then stay out. I try to do the same thing here. You know, I've said it quite a few times. Like, okay, when you come in here, let's be focused on what we are here for. I don't want to hear nothing about your corn hurting and all that kind of stuff. Enter in with thanksgiving. Enter in his court with praise and worship. Get all that out of the way before you come in, you know. And y'all know how I am. I have a sense of humor and stuff like that, so I play around and different things like that. But it's from a perspective to always keep in mind why we are truly here. And there's nothing wrong with, you know, with us laughing and, you know, because, you know, that's just my personality. We always gonna laugh and have fun and, you know, play around and different things like that. But it's always, the focus is always on Yah. And always keep that mindset and learn that when you get up in the morning, enter into his gates acknowledge him. You know, when we're doing the services, whatever we're doing, enter in. This is no, you're not coming to no basketball game. You ain't in the concession stand getting popcorn. There always should be a sacredness about it. You know, I used to laugh at, you know, y'all rest of sorry, I used to laugh at my sister Opal. But Opal was real serious when it came down to the service, man. And if stuff wasn't right, boy, she'd give you a look. She'd give you one of them old mother looks. And you knew you was out of line when she gave you that look. And it didn't matter if you were grown or a child. She gave you that mother look like, we do not do that in here like that. This is the Lord's house and we in the presence of God and you better act like it. You know. And these things are vitally important. We have to have that. Oh, God, man, I just saw this. My birthday is coming up, so this is a good example. You know, Dylan was asking me what did I want to do for the birthday, my birthday and stuff like that. Okay, I said okay. When you have 58 of them, you got options. You know, so I don't care what we do. You know, but what if it was your birthday? And everybody came in to the party and didn't acknowledge you. How would you feel if every time you had a birthday, you never got acknowledged? Here I'm getting ready to have my 58th birthday. How would I feel if nobody ever acknowledged me on neither one of them? How would you feel if nobody acknowledged you on your day? When it was your time to be acknowledged. That's what we do. Everybody come to church. I'm speaking in a general term now. Everybody come to church and they want to be acknowledged. Chad, when I walked through the door, you're the last thing on my mind. I remember Aunt Sue used to get mad at me. She used to be like, Lord, she called me Pastor. Just walk. When he walk in, he don't see nobody. He don't say nothing to nobody. It just, hey, Pastor, why don't you just be... I'm sorry, Sue. My mind was on the one and the reason why I'm here. You are irrelevant to me right now. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but I know why I'm here. If you here to see me, you are here for the wrong reason. If I need to speak to you, you should even know I came in the room. We was doing praise and worship when I walked in. If your face was to the ground and your face was to the ground and your head was between your knees, you would not even know when I came in. Church is in a sad state. I'm talking about the body of Christ as a whole, at least so called. Everybody's coming to church to be recognized instead of coming to church to recognize the one for the reason we're here in the first place. We got a lot of growing up to do as the body. So that's all I have. If you have any questions and comments, now you know. My secret to how I get y'all to always move for me. Well, I'll give you another secret. I very seldom ask him for anything. You know what I learned about a good parent? A good parent always are watchful concerning what you need. Use Joshua again, I'm through. He came around the corner. I think y'all was gone or something like that. Yeah, y'all had left the house, right? Joshua? Wasn't Joshua gone earlier today? Okay. Well, he's back there somewhere. When he came out, I think he just had got him out of the shower. Am I right? Something was going on there. But anyhow, he having no shoes. Did you just get him out of the shower then?
No,
you didn't?
No,
okay.
Oh,
okay, yeah. He didn't have on his shoes. You know, it's kind of cold. So, as a grandfather, I know what he need. So the minute I saw that, I was like, hey, he need to put something on his feet. Because I'm always looking out for his best interest. I use that as an example to show how y'all is concerning us. I can't remember the last time I've asked y'all for something. I'm too busy just praising the beauty of his holiness. And from doing that, we're always on the same page pretty much. That's all I have. Just wanted to add that to it. All right, any questions, comments? If not, I'm done.
Hello, Pastor?
Yeah.
Can you hear me? Mm-hmm. So, for instance, we have to be careful not to get too comfortable when it comes to serving God. Like you were saying, it should be when we first open our eyes or before we start our day, we should acknowledge him. And no matter where we are, and like when we come to the house of worship, there should be nothing more important than acknowledging God and being ready, you know. Just, I try to be ready even before, no matter what I do. Like when I get up in the morning, I acknowledge him before I even get out of bed, because he's the author of our life. And when we come to the house of God, that should be our focus still, no matter where we are. Him first, acknowledging him.
Yeah, that's exactly what it should be. That's exactly how it should be. And that's the mystery of him moving. And I want you to be careful, and I'm saying you as to all of us, be careful not to make this a religious thing.
Right.
Let it be a sincerity thing, because as I mentioned, y'all know what's real and what's false. And so, it's like the same way with me with my grandkids. I know when they, you know, when they being real, or, you know, as Zoe said, Papa being a drama king, she know when I'm playing and when I'm for real. And when I'm playing, she pick it up. She be like, Papa, you just being a drama king. You know, and so there's a genuineness associated with it. And there is no set method by which you do it. It just make up your mind that whichever way you can do this in order to show him the beauty of his holiness, then that's what you do. It don't have to be long prayers. Matter of fact, there's a basic prayer that I do on a daily basis. And there's sometimes I don't do any other thing more than that. And it's just what's commonly understood as the Lord's Prayer. Our Father which art in heaven. I pray that every day. And the reason why I pray it every day is because when the disciples asked Christ to teach them how to pray, that's what he taught them. So I'm like, it's the perfect prayer. Why should I come up with all these other things when I can just pray the perfect prayer every day? Christ taught it. So if he taught it, then that's what I'm going to do. There's no other way. As far as I'm concerned, there's no other better way to pray than that prayer. Everything is included in that prayer. And so, that's my mindset in reference to that. Yeah, but it's vitally important for us to understand that Yah is wanting to do some things. He's, you know, and I go back to the video before, you know, that we started out with. Yeah, it's some things that we can do. I pray when tornadoes was hitting areas and things like that. And I got in that window and put my face to the ground, and my family will tell you where am I when the storm is hit, when tornadoes are out. In the window. I go in the window and I start calling out to recognize the beauty of His holiness. I'm in the window hollering, "Oh Lord, oh Lord." I'm in there and I know who I am, and I'm standing there and I'm acknowledging the Most High. And I'm seeking his wisdom on what he's doing and how he wanna do it, and as things are happening, I'm praying that your will be done. I don't sit there and say, "Lord, stop this storm." He may be stopping somebody else from doing something by allowing that storm to be there. Let your will be done, y'all. Make some of these crazy folks go sit down somewhere when you know. And so I look for y'all in everything, even in a tornado. That's scriptural too. Okay. All right. I'm finished. And no more questions, comments. We're good. Okay. Father Yah, we just bless you for your word on today, and we just seek you, the beauty of your holiness. We thank you for blessing us to understand what you need from us. We just decree that we're going back to the ancient ways of our people that knew how to honor you and to worship you and to call upon you for deliverance. And you did it every time we submitted to your divine will. And at the same time, we understand that we can cry all we want to and ask all we want to. And if we're asking for the wrong reason or operating outside the boundaries of your divine will, then nothing is going to take place. And so what it boils down to is us. And we appreciate you, Father, for revealing to us these things. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen.